Welcome to the Six Figure Developer Podcast. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.
So, John, what are we talking about this week?
This week, we're going to talk about professionalism and the 40-hour work week.
All right, so how are we defining professionalism for this episode?
Well, like in general, to be professional means that you're doing what's good for you, good for your client, and good for your company. I mean, so like you wouldn't do anything that would harm the company because that would be unprofessional. And generally, doing something that's bad for you is also bad for the work that you're doing at the company. You know, like if I cut off my leg, or since I'm a programmer, if I cut off one arm, that would be unprofessional.
I think there is a sense of integrity where you're kind of introspectively and kind of self-governing the quality of your work. And ensuring that it meets a particular standard. And in the reference to like the 40-hour work week, you're ensuring that the time that you put in is kind of the most productive, and not even necessarily the most productive, but a consistent, repeatable amount of productivity and quality that you can kind of deliver and meet an expectation consistently.
In the past, it seems that a lot of software projects were being developed in a waterfall type of mindset or
big design up front.
Big design up front or some kind of product plan. It would seem that Scrum, or at least some sort of agile methodology, is more the adopted and de facto way to develop software these days. With methodologies like Scrum, there's the idea of points and velocity. So how does that play into professionalism and the 40-hour work week?
Well, you want a constant velocity, right? So the only way to guarantee a constant velocity is to have an agreement to put in so many hours a week. The socially acceptable work week is 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. So for corporate America, at least, that comes out to 40 hours of work.
And why do we think it's important to stick to that accepted norm?
Well, a lot of companies don't, actually. I myself do put in 40 hours, but I don't do it 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. I work 4 days a week, 10 hours on those days. As far as why the 40 hours, I think it's one of those things that's been around long enough that companies just think that that's the right amount, whether it is or isn't.
Yeah, it seems to afford a decent work-life balance. You've got a fairly regular schedule that you can predictably sit down and work and deliver and work with your coworkers and communicate with others that are also working on the task at hand.
So in regards to velocity and in regards to 40 hours of a work week, I wonder if hours are even a good measure for measuring the amount of work that a software developer is actually doing, because the majority of their work is kind of problem solving, and there is often a component of a product that is actually produced, but at the same time, a good amount of the process is just actually coming up with a solution from the very beginning.
Yeah, I think that's a good point too. Many of the Scrum Masters that I've worked with or Agile coaches or Scrum coaches really try to drive home the point, whether it's for the developers or for the clients or for the product owners. We're not necessarily trying to equate effort with hours. We want to make sure that we're delivering value. We want to make sure that we're committing to deliver certain features in a certain time frame. Typically, that's going to be a 40-hour week for a given developer. But really, I think the emphasis really needs to change more towards, are we delivering value? And are we equating effort with hours? Or are we equating value with features?
I think companies are probably a little afraid of that shift. It's a lot harder to put a price tag's not right, but it's the closest thing I can think of right now to put a price tag on, oh, well, you completed these features and those features are worth so much to the company, so you can go in there and have the rest of the week off. But they can track hours pretty easily. You know, if your butt is in the seat, then they know that you've been there. It would be nice to see them shift that if you're delivering more value than you're costing the company, that they just kind of let you do your thing. But I think that'd be a hard sell.
I would even wonder how you might even make that measurement. And I don't think many developers actually want their effort tied to the direct profit or ever-changing economic success of a piece of software. I mean, much of our enterprise software doesn't even generate revenue directly, and the cost savings that they might generate can be very difficult to identify. And even further still, I mean, the success of the software, often depends on many different factors that are well outside of developers' control. I guess it comes to, is there really a better solution, or are just ours the best we've got?
Well, I think there's a fair amount of coaching left to be done, you know, especially if you're working on a project that is quote, an agile project or a Scrum project. There's a certain amount of coaching that needs to be taking place to set those expectations early on and communicate them, whether or not you're using the actual terms of Scrum or Agile, or just leaving that as the way that we like to work is we want to make sure that we're delivering the most value as quickly as possible. And so that means that we're going to focus on this feature first, and we think that we can get this feature done in this amount of effort. The problem with that too, though, is you're still essentially equating this effort, this feature in this time frame. Now, is that still fair to say? And is someone going to do the mental math that, you know, we have three developers on this project and this feature, they've estimated it 8 points, and that means that they can deliver 40 hours worth of effort in a 2-week sprint or whatever the math works out to be? How do we avoid those mental gymnastics? Is it just more coaching and more discussions with the product owners and the clients, or how does that conversation need to happen?
That's kind of an interesting thought. I mean, at some point, the company has to calculate time spent versus value produced, and they're probably going to calculate it in hours. I mean, that's HR is going to do that to determine a valuable or a reasonable salary for you. If you're making, let's say, $100,000 a year, since this is the Six Figure Developer Podcast, you have to be producing more than $100,000 a year for that company, or they just can't afford you. So somewhere, somebody's got to break it down into hours. I do think that could be pushed further back. On the coaching, though, it seems like it's difficult to find agile coaches often, because companies, they want to make the switch, and they're either unable or unwilling to get an actual coach to aid in transition. So we're still kind of in a pickle.
Yeah, I saw an interesting meme on the internet the other day that was, we are agile means that we do part of Scrum poorly and that we have a license to Jira. So is it really just the problem that we are Scrum or we are agile and we practice Scrum because we say we are agile and because we say we practice Scrum? Are we putting too much emphasis on those terms and not enough on we deliver value to our clients?
I do think that companies are hung up on the buzzwords more than they are in investing in the intention of the process.
The value that an agile process should be bringing is the reduction of the inert resistance to change. I mean, to steal a physics term, it's reducing the team's inertia. And but when we focus on buzzwords and the hippest management software, we end up adding process. We end up adding inertia, all in the name of becoming agile.
That leads me back to Clayton's series on the blog entitled Scrum Sucks. There's all kinds of problems with being dogmatic about process and procedures and really just kind of missing the point that, you know, these are guidelines to help us do our job, not these are the rules on how we do our job. So another tweet I saw a couple of days ago was essentially, you get what you incentivize. having worked on a number of different projects that required far too many hours on a regular basis, what are the issues putting in extra hours or staying late?
I think some of the cons, so some of the reasons why we don't want to, especially as software developers, just sort of accept enormous amount of time and continued kind of work, is I think that there's a kind of a mental limit that we all know can reach, and at some point our ability to problem solve and our ability to think, our ability to kind of come up and work efficiently is reduced. And I think that everyone is different, so I don't know that 40 hours necessarily makes sense across the board. It probably is a pretty good one because it's kind of what we've all societally arrived at, but individuals might find that they can go longer or they could go less. But in a general sense, I think that the reality is that what we need to do is we need to find a way for us to kind of continue. If we're working longer than 40 hours or we're working beyond kind of the mental capacity that we have to kind of function efficiently, then the work that we're actually creating, we're spending a lot more time to get a lot less result. And that all of a sudden creates the quality of the product that we're doing can diminish, and the quality of the basic of the cost of the product can become very enormous. And so it is not beneficial to us because it creates extra burden, extra stress on ourselves, but it's also not beneficial to employers and the teams we're working for, because they end up having to either foot an extra bigger bill or they end up having to pick up the slack where we're lacking off.
When the company or the product owner or whoever may be paying the bills comes to us and says, we've got a really important deadline, we have to hit this, we can't bend on our features, we don't want to bend on the quality, oftentimes that third one is going to be forgotten. And they're going to say, okay, you know, maybe we can skip if you're doing test-driven development or writing tests at all. Maybe we can go ahead and skip that step, or, you know, maybe the developers are feeling the pressure so much that, you know, we're going to focus on changing a specific feature of the system, or we're going to forego any sort of manual testing and really just, you know, make sure we complete our tasks, we can check them in, and we can move on. The side effect often is that quality does drop, because we know that the timeline can't drop and the scope can't drop. When quality drops, bugs and defects increase, and the time to market is going to be slower because you're going to have to go back and clean that stuff up at some point. You're going to incur an enormous amount of tech debt that is only going to increase the time and cost of any future enhancements.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that drives a lot of developers to put in the extra hours, is to squeeze that in for the company. They think they're doing the company a favor, but really all they're doing is setting expectations that they can't keep up with. One of the processes in extreme programming is sustainable pace. And sustainable pace, a lot of people will call it, also they call it 40-hour work week. That's not really what it is. It's whatever pace is sustainable for your team. That could be 20 hours. A lot of consultants only put in 20 hours of programming because if they tried to put in more programming, they wouldn't have time to take care of their business, and so they have to limit their programming to 20 hours. For your typical developer, it's probably going to be close to 40 hours simply because that's what the company expects you to be in the seat for. But if you think about how much time you actually spend programming, if you added it up, I bet it's not more than 30 hours for most people. It's unlikely that a developer could maintain indefinitely 60 hours a week of trying to cram in programming. And at some point, they're going to falter, and that's bad for the company.
So there's a certain amount of professionalism that falls back on our shoulders, right? So it's up to us to have that conversation with our scrum masters, with our product owners, with our superiors, and say, we as a team, we've committed to so many points, so many hours, whatever the case may be, so many features. This is what we can reliably deliver in a quality, consistent manner, and we need to have that conversation. When they push back and say, well, we need more out of you, do you think you can squeeze this in? I really think it's going to be up to us, up to the developers, to say, no, we can't do that without sacrificing quality, and we're not going to give up quality. If we abandon our principles, then they weren't our principles. So it's really up to us to have those sometimes difficult conversations.
So how do we have those difficult conversations with employers?
First of all, your employer should never ask you to put in the extra time. That's them being unprofessional, because the only reason that they would ask you to put in the extra time is if they had an inability to plan for the work to get done on time. Now, things happen, right? So like, no plan is ever 100%, but most companies build in buffer. They plan a launch date of, I don't know, March 14th, but they build in that buffer so that they know they may not get done on that day. So they actually tell the analysts and the program managers and the developers that the delivery date is 2 weeks or a month earlier than that, so that they know that when the project does fall behind, that they'll still land on their projected date in the first place. And there's a bunch of other project management stuff that they can do to ensure that the thing happens.
What happens when that contingency is not enough?
And that does happen. Like I said, you can't plan for everything. The business really needs to make a decision. It's our job to voice that if we got the work done, that the quality would be less than our standard. The business can make a decision to override that, just like they can make a decision to drop features. They can make a decision to extend the deadline. They can make a decision to hire more employees, although that usually doesn't work either. They have basically like four sliders that they can toggle. So they can add or subtract time. They can add or subtract money. That would be new developers or removing developers from the team. And they can add and subtract quality. So if they're like, we prefer quality over everything, right? Like every developer that's being professional wants the quality to never move. They want that slider to always be at the top. But that's not always the case. And the business can either consciously make a decision to lower the quality slider, or the developer can accidentally make that decision by putting in the extra time and feeling the pressure of a deadline. And if we're going to sacrifice any quality, it would be better if we understood that that's what we were doing. Because when it happens accidentally, it's really bad.
I think it's important to give those options. When it's approaching time to have that conversation, we need to present the options available. Say, you know, we understand that this is the most important feature that we're working on, but we also are working on, you know, feature B and C. Maybe it's we can drop B and C and deliver A. Maybe it's we can deliver a pared down version of A and B. We need to give them all of the information to those that are going to ultimately make the decision, because oftentimes the developer isn't the one making that decision.
Now, as far as when it's okay for the business to potentially expect that some extra time will be put in, or when it's okay for the developer to agree to put in extra time, to me is really only when there's some kind of special event. If your product is about to launch, so that you don't interfere with your international markets or whatever, you do launches at 2 a.m. in the morning, right? Then it makes sense to me to ask for the developers and DevOps and anyone else who was involved to be available during your launch window, just to make sure everything goes smooth. If you're missing a deadline, to me, that's not a valid reason to ask the developers to work late.
So I think I might disagree with you here. I think that the deadline, there are situations where the deadline might be a reason to ask the developers to work extra. And the situation that where this would be the case would be where the deadline is maybe in coordination with something else, and so it's a very hard deadline, and missing it really makes a significant cost to the business, and maybe even so much so that it's not worth producing the software at all if we miss that deadline. And I think this is a rare thing, but as long as when we do make that assessment and we say, yes, this cost is worth it, is worth the quality loss, the pretty much guaranteed quality loss that we're going to get, then I don't have any problem with that. And I think it's something that we also have to understand, this can't be, it isn't a sustainable thing, but as long as we're willing to accept that quality loss.
if we substitute loss in quality or lower quality with incurring tech debt, then I would be inclined to agree with you. I can swallow taking on tech debt easier than I can, we want you to lower quality. If it's a conscious decision to take on tech debt, then I can more easily stomach that. But I want to have the conversation that we will do that this time as long as we prioritize that tech debt to be resolved as soon as possible, the next sprint, the next day, whatever the case may be.
For the reasons that both of you stated, I disagree. The company will always choose, and they won't say it. They won't say that we're taking on tech debt, or sometimes they will. I have worked at one company where they said they were taking on tech debt intentionally as a conscious decision. But there's two problems. One, the company will never go back and actually take care of that tech debt. It's just not something that happens. And two, it's a really slippery slope. If they're willing to sacrifice quality today, then they're also willing to sacrifice quality tomorrow, 2 weeks from now, a year from now. And you end up, the developers just end up on a death march, constantly crushing out new features, and their quality is just obliterated.
I also agree with that. And I'll reiterate that I can more easily stomach the tech debt discussion. It's still a very bitter pill to swallow, and I will likely try my best only to let it happen once, having been burned in the past.
I take a really hard line when it comes to putting in extra hours. I have flat out told my employer, my current employer, that I won't do it. In the 2.5 years that I've been working at my employer, I have put in 30 minutes of extra time that was not related to a launch event. And on those launch events, I just sat around and ate pizza. Like, there was nothing actually to do. And the 30 minutes extra that I worked, I also didn't really do anything. I was on a phone call because there was a bug in the middle of the night. But yeah, I have flat out told my employer that I will not put in the extra time. At first, they didn't like that. but now they don't have a problem with that. And they have even started to tell some of the other employees to stop working after hours.
So there are a number of developers out there, and I'm sure we've all experienced this, that are really serial overtimers, right? They're always working overtime. If you happen to log in to check your work email at night, you're going to see them in a chat window somewhere. You know, they're always talking about, you know, the 80 and 100 hour weeks that I put in and whatever the case may be. So how do we have the conversation with those folks? Your company isn't asking for the extra time. They're just, you know, always taking it upon themselves to put in those extra hours. How do we have the conversation with those folks?
Well, I mean, I just mentioned, my company has been telling other developers to stop putting in the extra time because they understand several points about it. That developer at 3 a.m. is not likely to do their best work. Also, they're giving up their personal time to work on work stuff. Like, that's not work-life balance. If you put in that extra time for the company, let's say the company pays you, again, $100,000 a year. They're paying you $100,000 a year for 40 hours a week, minus holidays and your PTO time. If you then go turn those weeks into 80-hour weeks, you're making $50,000 a year. You're just putting in 2 years at a time. You're reducing your hourly rate. It's really, really financially bad. There's other things that you could be doing that would either be more fun or make you more money.
Yeah, and if a Scrum team has a velocity that they've calculated over time, and you've got one developer, two developers putting in consistent overtime hours to meet these deadlines and deliver these story points, what are we telling our clients, the company, the business? We're essentially telling them that this is the velocity, these are the number of points, this is the amount of effort that we can deliver in a given sprint. And those metrics are going to be calculated on an inflated number of hours.
Well, and not only that, I have found, for the most part, that the developers who put in the 80 or 100 hours a week consistently, the rest of the team spends 80 to 100 hours a week cleaning up after that developer because they've just gone in at 3 a.m. and made a mess. They might be cranking out the code, but they're not cranking out quality code, not for the most part.
I do think there is a couple of occasions where it is actually feasible and okay to be working beyond the kind of given 40 hours or whatever the expectation is. I think primarily, and that's when the work that you're accomplishing or what you're producing for the company is outside of your normal development. So, for example, I'm a consultant, work for a consulting company, and I have a client that I work for, and the majority of my time goes to that client, or sometimes multiple clients. But at times, I might spend an extra hour here, a couple hours there, kind of investing in the company itself. It's not necessarily doing programming or problem solving, and it's not necessarily routine. But I think that that's actually a pretty commendable place to be spending beyond, especially, you know, I think it's a very professional kind of way to produce beyond just what is kind of the normal expectation.
Absolutely. If it's voluntary, if you've had the conversations and you've set the expectations and you're comfortable with it and the business is comfortable with it, absolutely. I would completely agree with that.
Yeah. And to build on top of that, I do think that it is perfectly okay to work the overtime when it is something that you have screwed up. If the business is demanding of you to put in extra time, I disagree with that. But if I have made a mistake, then I will put in the extra time to fix my mistake. And to me, that's just being professional. I'm owning up to the problem that I caused, and I am correcting the situation.
There was a great lightning talk that made it onto YouTube a number of years ago entitled Go the F Home, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes. But that's a great video if you have the relationship with your superiors where you can send them something that might not be deemed work appropriate. The topics covered and the bullets hit on this very short presentation are quite excellent. And we'd like to hear from you. If you've got any thoughts on the subject of professionalism and the 40-hour work week, send us a comment or send us a tweet. If you're enjoying the Six Figure Developer Podcast, please like, rate, and review. This has been the Six Figure Developer Podcast. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.